content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our July 2024 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. Now, the library also has more than 11,000 patrons across North Carolina, and if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of June at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin the program for this month with a look at a new book by David Baldacci. This one is called A Calamity of Souls. Here's the plot. And this, by the way, I should point out, is a review by Ray Palin, and the review was done in April 18th, actually, of this year, so it's brand new. Whenever I review a new title from David Baldacci, says the writer, I always marvel at how this prolific writer remains fresh and interesting with each release. That being said, his latest novel, A Calamity of Souls, is completely different. It took him 10 years to complete, and it may be not only one of his finest books to date, but quite possibly his most important. Two sheriff's deputies from Freeman County, Virginia, open this story with the apprehension and brutal beating of a black man who has been arrested as the only possible suspect in the murder of his elderly white employers. The accused is Jerome Washington, and the victims are the extremely wealthy Leslie and Ann Randolph. Defense attorney John Robert Lee, who goes by Jack, has been making a name for himself, but is about to become aligned with a case that seems impossible to win or receive any justice for. While visiting his parents, he receives a message that Miss Jessup had called there for him and needed to speak with him. She has been known to the family for decades and is a well-respected maid to one of their neighbors. Jack and his father take a ride to the black part of town to meet with Miss Jessup. She proceeds to tell Jack that her son-in-law, Jerome, was wrongfully arrested for the Randolphs' murder. Employed by them as a handyman, he found their bloodied, lifeless bodies in their bedroom as deputies arrived. The law wants to railroad Jerome for this gruesome double homicide and is already threatening the death penalty. Jack meets with Jerome and is shocked by how badly beaten and injured he is. The assigned defense attorney did nothing to help Jerome and merely moved along with the prosecution's case. Jack believes Jerome, a decorated Vietnam veteran, and agrees to defend him. Keep in mind that the book's setting is the late 1960s, shortly after the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy, when there is little to no chance for a black man in these circumstances to escape the death penalty in the South. Well, as Jack begins to look into the matter, he receives almost a complete wall of resistance and hatred. When the prosecution brings in a heavy hitter from out of town, he realizes the magnitude and importance of this case. And the likelihood of an all-white jury does not make this uphill task any easier. Assisting Jack is Desiree DuBose, a black lawyer who specifically works on racially charged cases, such as this one. Now, she is well-educated, well-spoken, and unlike anything the courthouse in Freeman County has ever seen. Not only does this unwinnable case weigh on Jack, his team is faced with dirty surprise upon dirty surprise. David Baldacci has done such an outstanding job plotting this lengthy tale that there is not much I can say about this intense case without giving away something juicy. There are so many twists in this unpredictable thriller, with some serious instances of human depravity sprinkled in for good measure, that it reads like a literary classic. A Calamity of Souls is indeed an important novel, one that Baldacci was born to write, and a story to which only he could do justice. Once again, the book is called A Calamity of Souls, and it was written by David Baldacci, and the review that I just read was written by Ray Palin in April of this year. Now let's take a look at a book called The Last Sinner. It's by Lisa Jackson. After over 9 million copies sold, Evil comes full circle for Lisa Jackson's internationally revered detectives Rick Bentz and Ruben Montoya. Father John is back to terrorize the Big Easy, and the sinners of New Orleans will repent. Here's the plot. There are killers so savage, so twisted, that they leave a mark not just on their victims, but on everyone who crosses their path. For Detectives Bentz and Montoya, Father John, a fake priest who used the sharpened beads of a rosary to strangle prostitutes, is one such monster. Bentz thought he'd end that horror years ago when he killed Father John deep in the swamp, but now there are chilling signs he may have been wrong. A new victim has surfaced, her ruined body staged in deliberate, unmistakable detail. Either it's a terrifying copycat, or Father John, the detective's own recurring nightmare, has come back to haunt New Orleans. Another death and another, Bentz is growing convinced that Father John isn't just back. He's circling closer, targeting those Bentz loves most. And this time, he won't be stopped until the last sinner has paid the ultimate price. And once again, the name of that book is The Last Sinner, and it's by Lisa Jackson. Now let's turn to another very popular author we hear from a lot on this program. This one is called The Murder Inn, and it is, of course, by James Patterson. And this is a book review, The Murder Inn, by James Patterson and Candace Fox, by the way. And this review appeared in Permalink in February of 2024. It's a fairly new book as well. Here's the plot. The Murder Inn by James Patterson and Candace Fox is a sequel to the 2019 collaboration, The Inn. I really enjoyed that book and love the characters in particular, the reviewer says. It was slated as a standalone, but I said I hope there were more and ask as you shall receive, though not always obvious. And I loved this sequel just as much. I literally lapped it up, having returned home from a several-day work trip. I ran a bath and dove right in to the book, not the bath, into which I stepped carefully, the reviewer says. It wouldn't matter at all if you hadn't read the first book, and I'm not even sure this is pegged as a series. You could easily come into this book fresh as you introduced to the players, including ex-cop, now innkeeper Bill, and his girlfriend, ex-CIA. There's also Clay, the current police officer, as well as a former mobster, a hermit, a novelist, and a woman with an unclear backstory. And finally, there's Nick. He is ex-military And here his past comes back to haunt him as we learn that he and three team members were involved in something shady in Afghanistan over a decade earlier. Bill's shocked when Nick shares his secret, but determined to protect his friend. Unfortunately, Bill inadvertently puts all of the residents of the inn in danger when he also tries to help out the wife of a former colleague. I perhaps would have liked a little more history here, as we learn this now-deceased cop did all sorts of dodgy deals and lived a life of excess. After his death, his wife learns of some of his secrets, and her life is threatened as a result. But instead of asking for help, she fights back, big time, unfortunately bringing drug dealers and worse to Bill's door. The reviewer says, "I like that Patterson and Fox don't have the two cases randomly or coincidentally connected. Rather, the baddies in each band together." And at that point, we quickly reach the book's conclusion. This is really well-paced, so the action keeps coming throughout the book, but the tension still manages to build quickly for the climax. As was the case in the first book, our fiendish authors are not precious about killing off central characters, and I kind of like that lack of predictability. And I should mention that the pair also throw in a third mystery here, a bittersweet one at that, and a little surprise once we've been lulled into a false sense of closure. I'm loving these books, and I think they reflect the best of the writing duo, with Patterson's short, sharp chapters and lots of detail, and Fox's ability to create amazingly weird but delightful characters you can't help but be drawn to. I just hope the next book in this series doesn't take another 4 or 5 years. Once again, this is called The Murder Inn by James Patterson and Candace Fox, and it was published in Australia, actually, by Century Penguin Books, and it is now available. Now let's turn to another mystery by a popular writer whom we haven't had too much on this program. This is a book that's called Toxic Prey, and it's by John Sanford. Lucas Davenport and his daughter Letty team up to track down a dangerous scientist whose latest project could endanger the entire world in this latest thriller from the number one New York Times best-selling author John Sanford. Gaia is dying. That, at least, is what Dr. Lionel Scott believes, a renowned expert in tropical and infectious diseases. Scott has witnessed the devastating impact of illness and turmoil at critical scale. Society as it exists is untenable, and the direct link to Earth's death spiral. Population levels are out of control, and people have allowed disarray and disorder to run rampant. While most are concerned about deadly disease, Scott knows that it is truly humanity itself that will destroy Gaia. It's only by removing the threat that the planet can continue to prosper, and luckily Scott is just the right man for the job. When Scott then disappears without a trace, Letty Davenport is tasked with tracking down any and all leads. Scott's connections to sensitive research into virus and pathogen spread has multiple national and international organizations on high alert, and his shockingly high clearance levels at various institutions, including the Los Alamos National Laboratory, make him the last person they'd like to go missing. As the web around Scott becomes more tangled, Letty calls in her father, Lucas, to help her lead a group of specialists to find Scott as soon as possible. But as Letty and Lucas begin to uncover startling and disturbing connections between Scott and Gaia conspiracists, their worst fears are confirmed, and it quickly becomes a race to find him before the virus he created becomes the perfect weapon. Once again, the book is called Toxic Prey, and it's by John Sanford. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me for the program today. Now let's get back to a couple more books here. Let's listen to an explanation of a book called The Pact. It's a Kate Burkholder story by Linda Castillo. In the Pack, a gripping Kate Burkholder short mystery from New York Times bestselling author Linda Castillo, a terrifying disappearance in Amish country reveals the power of friendship. 3 days before Thanksgiving, two boys disappear without a trace. 11-year-old Aaron Coons is Amish. Kevin Dennison is 12 and English. They're adventurers, explorers, and inseparable best friends. When they don't return home from what was supposed to be a fun afternoon of fishing, Chief of Police Kate Burkholder must find the missing boys before the first winter storm of the season bears down on Painter's Mill. Linda Castillo is the author of the New York Times and USA Today best-selling Kate Burkholder's mystery series. It's set in the world of the Amish. The first book, Sworn to Silence, was adapted into a Lifetime original movie titled An Amish Murder, starring Neve Campbell as Kate Burkholder. Castillo is the recipient of numerous industry awards, including a nomination by the International Thriller Writers for Best Hardcover, a nomination for the Mystery Writers of America Sue Grafton Memorial Award, and a nomination for an Audie Award for the Best Mystery Audiobook. Her work has appeared on numerous bestseller lists and earned a spot on the Boston Globe shortlist for Best Crime Novel. This sounds like a good one. It's called The Pact, and it's a Kate Burkholder story by Linda Castillo. Now let's take a look at a book by Irene Hannon. This one is called Sandcastle Inn, A Hope Harbor. And it's a Hope Harbor novel, I should say, by Irene Hannon. Here's the plot. Vienna Price never intended to return for more than a passing visit to Oregon and all the bad memories she'd left behind there. But when your career tanks, home is where you go to nurse your wounds and chart a new course. Only temporarily, of course, because as much as she loves her quirky mom, anything more than a short stay would drive them both crazy. A trip to Oregon isn't in Matt Quinn's plans either, until a perfectly timed appeal for help arrives from his sister. What better place to decompress after a shattering loss than a quiet seaside town named Hope Harbor? But R&R isn't on the agenda when he arrives to find his sister's new enterprise on life support. Vienna, however, may have just the skills needed to resuscitate the foundering B&B if Matt can convince her to hang around long enough to mend an inn and his heart. Once again, the book is called Sandcastle Inn, and it is a Hope Harbor novel by Irene Hannon. Now let's look at another one. We have a short review here on a book called 3-Inch Teeth, and it's by C.J. Box. Wyoming game warden Joe Pickett faces two different kinds of rampaging beasts, one animal, one human, in this riveting new novel from the number one New York Times bestseller C.J. Box. A rogue grizzly bear has gone on a rampage, killing, among others, the fiancé of Joe's daughter. At the same time, Dallas Cates, who Joe helped lock up years ago, is released from prison with a list of six names tattooed on his skin. Now, he wants revenge on the people who sent him, the people he blames for the deaths of his entire family and the loss of his reputation and property. Targeted are a judge, the county prosecutor, his lawyer, a prison guard, and both Nate Romanowski and Joe Pickett. Using the grisly attacks as cover, Cates devises a method of violence identical to the bear killings and sets out to methodically check off his list. Once again, this is a book by C.J. Box, and it is called The Three-Inch Teeth. Now let's take a look at another very popular author. This is from the New York Times bestselling author Frieda McFadden. It is called The Locked Door, and it is a riveting psychological thriller about guilt, secrets, and whether it's possible to outrun what is in our blood. Some doors are locked for a reason. While 11-year-old Nora Davis was up in the bedroom doing homework, she had no idea her father was killing women in their basement until the day the police arrived at their front door. Decades later, Noah's father is spending his life behind bars, and Nora is a successful surgeon with a quiet, solitary existence. Nobody knows about her past, and she'll do anything to keep it that way. Then one of her young female patients is murdered, killed in the same unique and horrific manner that her father used to kill his victims. Somebody knows who Nora is. Somebody wants her to take the fall for this unthinkable crime. But she's not like her father. The police can't pin anything on her as long as they don't look in her basement. This is a book called The Locked Door by very popular author Frieda McFadden. Now let's turn to a book by a popular author. This particular book has come up several times this year. It just continues to be one of the top books on everybody's list at the Accessible Books and Library Services Division of the North Carolina State Library. This is a book called The Women, and it's by Kristen Hanna. Women can be heroes. When 20-year-old nursing student Frances Frankie McGrath hears these words, it is a revelation. Raised in the sun-drenched, idyllic world of Southern California and sheltered by her conservative parents, she has always prided herself on doing the right thing. But in 1965, the world is changing, and she suddenly dares to imagine a different future for herself. When her brother ships out to serve in Vietnam, she joins the Army Nurse Corps and follows his path. As green and inexperienced as the men sent to Vietnam to fight, Frankie is overwhelmed by the chaos and destruction of war. Each day is a gamble of life and death, hope and betrayal. Friendships run deep and can be shattered in an instant. In war, she meets and becomes one of the lucky, the brave, the broken, and the lost. But war is just the beginning for Frankie and her veteran friends. The real battle lies in coming home to a changed and divided America, to angry protesters, and to a country that wants to forget Vietnam. The Women is the story of one woman gone to war, but it shines a light on all women who put themselves in harm's way and whose sacrifice and commitment to their country has too often been forgotten. A novel about deep friendships and bold patriotism. The Women is a richly drawn story with a memorable heroine whose idealism and courage under fire will come to define an era. Once again, that's a book called The Women, and it's by the very popular author these days, Kristen Hanna. Now here's a short description of a book that I think you'll find interesting, and we read something by this author just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact. It's Irene Hannon. This one is called Deceived, a Private Justice Novel. For 3 years, Kate Marshall has been mourning the loss of her husband and 4-year-old son in a tragic accident. But when she spots a familiar-looking child on a mall escalator, she's convinced he's her son. With police skeptical of her story, she turns to private investigator Connor Sullivan for help. As the former Secret Service agent digs into the case, the accident begins to look increasingly suspicious. But if Kate's son is alive, someone is intent on keeping him hidden and may be willing to go to lethal lengths to protect a sinister secret. Once again, the book is called Deceived, and it's a private justice novel by Irene Hannon. And now, practically no program that we do here would be complete without a description of another popular book by James Patterson, and here's one. It's been up on the list for several months this year, actually. It's called The Number One Lawyer. Biloxi's best criminal defense attorney has never lost a case. Then his client's beautiful wife is murdered, and America's number one lawyer suddenly becomes its number one suspect. Here's the plot for this one. Stafford Lee Penny is a small-town lawyer with a big-time reputation for winning every case he tries. In his sharp suits and polished Oxford shoes, Penny is Biloxi, Mississippi's number one lawyer and, at the same time, top local celebrity. Just as Penny notches his latest courtroom victory, his wife is scandalously killed. He spirals into a legal and personal losing streak, damaging his reputation and ruining his career. Well, that's when Penny makes a bold decision. He stops trading on his power lawyer identity and creates a new one, a lawyer lifeguard. Moonlighting at the beach, showing up to court in flip-flops, mentoring a law student, the new Penny is at first unrecognizable. It's said that a lawyer who represents himself has a fool for a client, but when Penny is accused of murder, the number one lawyer will find a way to triumph. Once again, it's called The Number One Lawyer, and it's by James Patterson. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for accessible books, North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.